Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live...
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire. And you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yeah, Friday the 6th of Feb. You're in tune to Sweet Talking Sport on this Friday evening. I'm going to be with you for the next hour, you know. Back in the day, sometimes I used to drop 2 hours, you know what I mean? But, you know, I feel respect the people, them, who have kind of like, you know, taped their show maybe. But anyway... Hope you're gonna enjoy this ride. So yeah, Sweet Talking Sport is a chat show presented by myself. It's straight to the point. Deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and sometimes drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society devoted entirely to sport. Entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether that be near or whether that be far, a good to go on air expansive debate and analysed by myself. Sometimes you have the man called G, and sometimes you have the man called CV, you know, Yorkshire's finest, Yorkshire's best talk sports radio chat show. You can listen live and direct every Friday, 6 till 7, yeah? And even you can kind of like go online and just Google, you know? Chef Live Radio. You'll find it on there, sir. Yeah, you know, without further ado... I hope nobody's listening to this, but hey, if you are, please, you know, keep it to yourself. And I'm going to start with a bit of boxing, actually. Yeah. And this, is it a pantomime? You know? Of course, we're talking about the Deontay Wilder fight and war. Chisora, or known as the Bronze Bomber. That's Wilder, of course, you know. The Bomb Squad is going to bring it to the O2 on the 4th of April. Some people said that, you know, should have had it on the 1st. You know what I mean? Because this is a proper panto, and it doesn't get any kind of bigger than this. What's happening to boxing these days? What's happening to the real fights? You know what I mean? The proper fight them. You know what I mean? You know? I'm gonna play you a little something what these guys kind of like went through, really. And, you know, people might say, yeah, proper panto business. You know what I mean? But tempers was kind of like high. Deontay Wilder took... a piece out of Simon, you know. But I'm going to find the actual part of this where it kind of heats up. So we just have to kind of like bear with me for a little while I find the appropriate spot. I think we've got it now. Wallace.
Described you as the fighter formerly known as Deontay Wilder because what I saw in the fight against Josie Parker and Zhili Zhang was a fighter that was gone.
It was. He was not there. When the bell rung, it was like a hypnosis state. I would go back into something like, damn it. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, what confused
good enough?
No, I ain't saying he wasn't good enough.
So what I'm asking you in all of this is, it sounds to me, given the character that you are, that's like a little bit flaky. You lost those fights. And those fights were lost. And you saying that someone like Fury cheated you in those fights, I think is kind of disappointing to me about you.
I know the truth. I have the facts.
Okay.
Understand that. I got the facts of it.
No, fair enough.
This gets heated up, man. And this is for real, too.
We'll look forward to
seeing
that.
Understand that. What I say in boxing, I mean, and it's the truth. I risk my life for use entertainment to see. Oh,
absolutely.
So why, I ain't never lied about nothing in this business. You can believe what. Why is it so hard to believe a black man than a white man? Understand me? Why is it so hard to believe a black man than a white man?
Listen to Sejora in the background, just stirring up the pot. Go on, Derek.
How is Derek Chisora then, out of curiosity, given he's a black man, a national treasure in this country then? It's not a bad colour. You called somebody a chick.
Oh, come on. You don't have a whole lot of black people around
you.
Yeah, grateful for that, you know, the compete there.
Deontay, let me just get into Derek about fight week.
Calm down.
Known to be dynamic in fight week. We just seen a little taster of that
man,
right now.
Come on, man. Y'all can tap, man.
So the bronze bomber, there he is.
Yeah, so
come on, man.
We can have a disagreement.
As a little boy, and your view as a little boy is totally different than my view as a little boy. Most black people, while we're so into it with each other because we have PTSD, we done been through so much.
You wanted to move on, right?
It's hard to move on when you don't know the truth, and that's when I come in and try to give you a little insight of what we go through as black people, man.
I got it.
You don't get it.
Well, okay.
None of y'all get it.
Where do you want me to go?
Y'all don't get it. That's the problem. You think you get what you do.
Yeah,
understand.
I think you call Simon's on the fence with this one. Can't defend him, you know. Can't pull him out of there.
This is a little taster of what we're going to get. Both of you guys are big characters. It's going to be explosive, right? I mean, I don't even have to ask this guy because I've just got a little taster of that.
Oh,
come on.
Man.
Both of you guys are big in the fight week. Let's pull it back into the fight. Let's talk about the fight.
It's hard to put it back. I'm from the South. You understand?
Come on,
me?
Let's pull it back into the fight.
It's hard when y'all don't understand.
I get it.
I said I didn't want to talk about the situation. Now you got me riled up.
Fair enough.
Right. Wild as that. You understand? I feel shit. You understand me? You don't mean that, man.
Okay, stop.
Let me get the out of here, bro. I'm out of here. Talking about my people and all that shit. It's hard to believe a black man and a white man.
Them yeah, kind of, you know, heated up out there. I'm not saying that, you know, people take sides and stuff like that, but there's that's kind of deep. You know what I mean? It's like when you disturb a nest, you know, an onyx. You know what I mean? It's like our killer bees or something like that, you know? You put your hand in like the onion and you just get sting up. Yeah? And you kind of feel it, you know? He's certainly gone to the bone, that Simon. You know what I mean? And it's not the first time he's kind of like done it on there either. But yeah, you know, you know when you've disturbed a nest, you know, you've got sting. But like I said, you know, this fight for me, take Simon out of the equation, because that's what he does for a living. He likes to kind of like put his ear in there and, you know, kind of almost kind of like, not put somebody down, but he'll do it in a sophisticated way. Yeah. And he wants a reaction. He knows how to get a reaction too. Now, you know, going back to the fight on the 4th of April, you know, you've got two big guys in their own way. Yeah. Chisora's record, yeah, 36 fights, 13 losses, 23 KOs. Chisora, 42. Wilder, on the other hand, 44 wins. In fact, when I said 36 fights, I meant 36 wins for Chisora and 13 losses, 23 KOs. I just thought I'd correct that before somebody just phoned in, yeah? So Wilder, 44 wins, only lost four times, 43, you know, KOs in there, yeah? So, you know, it carries some weight, you know what I mean? Carries some weight. Like, apparently, Chisora says that he intends to step away from it, he intends to quit, you know, come out of the ring, you know? No U-turn in business, you know? And he wants it to be his decision. You know, he wants to make that decision to retire himself before boxing retires him. You know what I mean? And I think this is going to be his 50th fight on the 4th also as well. Now, you know, War Chisora, he says, because of the difficulties in preparing for a tear-up, yeah, he doesn't have that in him anymore. He says he's spent, he's done. Yeah? And it's not the first time this guy saying, you know what? I'm going to come out of this boxing team because I'm not in it. Yeah? I mean, when you look at a prep for a boxer, I think it's fair to say that you're looking between 6 to 12 weeks. Some say that they can cut it in 6 weeks, but I think it's fair to say that you've got a window of 6 to 12 weeks of intense training, which include aspects, you know, you get up in the morning and, yeah, you take to the road. You've got the road work stuff, you know. 3 to 5 miles, fair to say, okay. Come back a yard and yam your food and that, and then you're back in that sweater again, you know what I mean? You're doing the sparring, you know. The higher the pedigree of the boxer, the higher the sparring partner, okay. Sometimes you might have to fly in a man and stuff, you know. Then there's the technical side, yeah, of knowing your opponent, you know, looking at his weak points. Can you exploit them? Yeah? Can you clean him out? Yeah? Do you fight close in? Or is it going to be a jab and move? Or are you going to switch orthodox? Yeah? Southpaw. You're going to mix it up in there. Yeah? So that's where your trainer comes in. You know what I mean? You've got your strength training, yeah, your weights, your conditioning, you know. You might have a massage and sauna and stuff like that, yeah. So there's quite a big activity what kind of goes in there, you know what I mean? Now, to add a little bit more to this, right, because like I said, Chisora says that, you know, I've done. But then you've got Warren in the background. What's virtually saying, hey, you know, I tell you when you're done because you're under contract to me. Because at one point, Shizora were kind of like saying, you know what? I'm a free agent. Yeah? I can deal with what I want to deal with. Like I said, Warren, who manages his director, he is Queensbury. You know what I mean? And he holds a contract. Yeah? So it's like, do you know what? You fight for me. Yeah? That's basically what it is. Yeah? So, you know, Shizora, under contract, what? Early 2026, early this year, Warren made a statement from Queensbury Promotions. Yeah? Because, like I said, Shizora were claiming that the deal, his contract with Queensbury, has expired. It's done. So now he can have some fun. You know what I mean? And manage his own fights. Yeah? Like I said, Warren's not a man to back down, you know. And Frankie said, guess what? You're still bound, and I'll use that word, you know. You're still bound by the existing contract, which requires Queensbury involvement, right? So this is some kind of like serious vibes going behind the scenes. And we don't really hear too much of this. This kind of isms and schisms and stuff. So not just you're bound by Queensbury's involvement, but for any potential future tear-ups, including, yeah, Deontay Wilder, the Brahms Bomber, or the Bomb Squad, yeah? So, you know, now, the key factors in this thing, or the key takeaways, or the talking points, however you want to drop it, right? Talking contract status. What is the status? Now, you know, we're not privileged to see the contract, you know, but I tell you something, I mean, to say that he's a free agent and sticking out your chest and stuff, yeah, surely you must be confident, surely you must be aware of when your contract expires. When did you sign it? You know, you have your solicitors. You'll be well aware of that. It's like, so when you start a new job, you're well aware of the date when you started, the month when you started, the year you started. Yeah? You're well aware of them things. Yeah? So, apparently, yeah, Frank Warren confirmed early this year he's got the contract. He's well aware. Yeah, because that's what he eats and breeds. He's the contract man. He's Mr. Queensbury. Yeah, so he will know. And you know what? Yeah, this note. If you're signing anything, watch out for the small print, yeah? Because I'm sure, yeah, watches Zara can read. Yeah? And surely, before you come on air, make some kind of statement that I'm a free agent, yeah? You must check that date. Check it out. Okay, another key factor now. Conflicting views, right? Because, like I said, Derek Shizora suggesting contract with Queensbury expired. Yeah? Like, say, done. You know what I mean? Yeah? But... and also regarding any kind of promotional status as well. So that's another thing, you know what I mean? Yeah? Another key factor here, upcoming fights were linked to other promoters, because this is where Derek Shizora were kind of like, maybe he was kind of like looking around and stuff and saying, hey, you know, you want to make some money, you want to promote me, I'm going to fight Deontay Wilder. Yeah? And I'll come to Wilder in a bit, because we know, say, he's a free agent. So whether he's got in his head and saying, yo, we are going with, man. You know what I mean? You know, I look after my own fights. Yeah, I negotiate my own purse. You know, and then Wilder must have said, hey, mine's expired. You know what I mean? You know? So, yeah. You know, Sweet Talking Sport, Friday the 6th of Feb. It's 18:20. And we're talking boxing, we're talking contracts, we're talking Chisora against Wilder, 4th of April, you know, at the O2 in London. Yeah? And there's something here as well, yeah? Since all this hot air, guess what? Queensbury are still in control. It's Sweet Talking Sport. So, you know, like I said, I mean, this goes for anybody. You're signing contracts, you have to read, yeah? And, you know, the bigger the dupe, but the bigger the soup, you know, you might need a lawyer, solicitor to go over certain things, yeah? Friend of a family, representative, agent, you know, to go over certain things. Make sure you understand what you're agreeing to, because when you're bound by that, the only way to come out is Dunnies, yeah? If you pay up, you know what I mean? So whether that's going to be negotiable in the future, possible, because after his 50th fight, he'll be in a position to do that. But will Derek Chisora finish boxing after this one? You know what I mean? The more you get, the more you want, yeah? You know, usually these two guys are the best of friends, yeah? And I've seen them on the box, you know? They were sat side by side each other, right? Having a laugh and a joke. Would you want to fight your friend? Do you know what? Depends on how much million you're going to get, yeah? Because money turns your head, you know? And you have two big units like that, yeah? Public want to see it, but I tell you something, don't get fooled by it. Yeah, will I watch the fight? Yeah, of course I will. I'll be watching it. You know what I mean? Am I bothered who wins? Not really. I just want to see a good tear up. You know what I mean? Just like anybody else. You know what I mean? There's neither one of them I dislike. You know, I'll watch Chisora all day long. I'll watch Wilder all day long. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be. It's. I'm not saying it's gonna be a classic, really. Not too much violence in it. I don't think they'll mix it up too much. You know, I mean, Chisora's already admitted that. You know, the mood will switch in the fight. Yeah, when it gets closer to the fight, you know. That's just fine talk. He's good at it. He's had years at it. You know what I mean? But also, he might go, you know, on holiday to Alabama. This is what he's saying. You know? And who lives there? I know the Black Bomber. That's where it comes from. Yeah? So, after the fight, might even go before the fight. You know what I mean? Take a trip out to Alabama. You know? But that's, and I'm not even joking, I'm not even making it up, you know? Like I said, hey, listen, if you've just tuned in, listen to Sweet Talking Sports, Friday, the 5th, yeah? 18:24 and moving, you know? In the right direction. So, yeah, listen out for that, you know? Chisora against the man them call the Bomber. Yeah, the Bronze Bomber. Let's cool down things a little bit now. Yeah, and let's I'll give you a little story now. Olympic skater given Minos Music permission. You might think, what's Minos music. You know, what's all that got to do? Well, yeah, I'm gonna tell you say better wall on, yeah? After days of legal wrangling and online outcry, the menace will skate in Milan after all. So we're talking the Winter Olympics, okay? Which actually starts today and concludes on the 22nd of this month in the northern area of Italy, you know? Milan will co-host this with another city in Italy. So, yeah, the Spanish figure skater Thomas Sabate has been given permission to perform to his usual music, a mixture of music from the Manas animated film series, yeah, in the Winter Olympics, which starts today. Throughout the 2025/26 season, Sabate has performed to songs from the Manas while wearing a yellow t-shirt and blue overall, similar to the character outfit. So people were saying, hey, listen, is that copyrights? You know, what's going on? However, the Olympic, it seems to thought Sabate, known of his flamboyant and unusual routine, would have to change his unusual routine in the men's single because of a copyright issue, yeah? In fact, let me just step up certain things there, because basically it's a mix of music from the Minos animated film series. Sabate has performed songs from Minos while wearing his kind of outrageous outfit, yeah? Bit loud and stuff, yeah? But copyright, there's no sort of like magic number or something like that to say, you know, you have to make 4 or 5 changes, you know, to prevent something from being copyright, yeah? I suggest somebody's took a little wage on this as well, you know? But, you know, it comes down to the IP holder, yeah? The intellectual property, yeah? That's what the IP stands for, yeah? Of copyright legal rights. Now this something here, this kind of like Sabate tunes, what people are talking about, all it is this. So, you know, I'm not going to play minutes of that business, but if you can imagine how flamboyant Sabate is, yeah? 26-year-old confirmed Friday morning that the issues have been now resolved, yeah? How they resolved them? Probably a bit of dunnies have exchanged places there, really, you know? We have made it. That's what he's saying. To obtain the license for all 4 musical pieces, and I will be able to skate my Minos program at the Olympics. You know, it's not been an easy process, but the support from everyone has been followed. My case, you know, has been essential in keeping me motivated, optimistic throughout these days. Yeah, so he's got that, you know. And I just thought, you know, yeah, I just kind of share a little something with you there, you know. Yeah, man. Listen, I hope you're enjoying the tunes in the background. 18:29 on Sweet Talking Sport on this Friday, 6th of February, you know. Listen, I just want to just throw in something here now. And, you know, believe it or not, this ain't a joke. You know, sticking with the Olympics, the Winter Olympics in Italy. What has bobsleigh now? What has the bobsleigh athletes and the fighter jet pilots have in common? Yeah? Like I said, it's not a joke. Just mill it over for a moment, and I'll give you the answer. I hope you're kind of like working it out or having your discussions in your yard. You know what I mean? What's we talking about? What? Bobsleigh athletes and fighter jet pilots. You know? Well, let me tell you something right now. Yeah? Bobsleigh and the pilots, the fighter pilots, they share, you know, unique blend, you know? Physically demanding. Both of them have technical responsibilities, you know, that makes their profession, yeah, remarkably quite similar, yeah, characterized by the need for split second decision making, yeah, obviously you got bravery mixed in there also as well, and managing the G-force, you know what I mean, them people that travel at them kind of speeds, yeah, will obviously know about that, you know what I mean. I think bobsleighs, I think you're talking between 80 and 90 maybe. Might be pushing it if I said 92 mph, and that's in competition mode. You know, the fighter jet pilots, hear this, 460, yeah, you heard me right, 460 mph, that is scary, you know, obviously during missions. Engaging combat, you'd expect them to travel at them kind of speeds anyway, you know what I mean? So, you know, their physical and mental demands. So you're not just talking about physiques and busting weight and all them kind of something, it's in your head as well, yeah? Because, you know, they have to, their concentration to survive, obviously. Their performance, you know what I mean? Flight or flight, you know? So with a bobsleigh navigating ice tracks, you know, the intensity to focus needed, you know, just like a fight in the cockpit, okay? So we talked about the G-force, yeah, flinging the torrents levels also in there. Bobsleigh athletes endure up to 5G on the standard tracks with dynamic focus, potentially reaching 10G during turns. This is compatible and comparable, yeah, to the pressures evidenced by fighter pilots. Precision, yeah, and awareness both require instant decision making. Yeah, the pilot must calculate speeds, angles of approach, yeah, and trajectory of seconds to avoid crashing, you know, or losing speed. Risk management, yeah, you have to have that in your locker as well, because professional face high dangers, you know. You know, one Olympic notice when they crashed, you know, is a matter of rather the mirroring, you know, the risk of aerial combat, you know, or a test pilot, you know what I mean. So yeah, just something a little bit different, you know. And I'm going to go into football now because time's moving on, you know what I mean? Why? It's going fairly quick today, you know? 18:33 on Sweet Talking Sport. And again, it's like I wanted to flag this up some time ago, but there's that many angles and stories what we discuss on here. I hope you're enjoying the show, by the way. April Francis. People thinking, who's April Francis? Not aware, April Francis. Well, April Francis, 27-year-old, is connected with Aaron Wan-Bissaka. That's a dude who plays for West Ham, ex-Manchester United player. Yeah? Now, listen to this now. If Francis, yeah, is found guilty, she will go to the big yard. Big yard, yeah? That's something about the car, you know? Big yard, yeah? Now, she's mowed down, apparently mowed down a pedestrian, yeah? And now the injuries are life-changing injuries, okay? So she could get done, you know, for dangerous driving, if found guilty of this, you know, could potentially be looking up to 5 years in the big yard, which is a maximum punishment, yeah, you can ever get. So people in Colchester are watching that magistrate's court. I reckon it'll get escalated that and go into Crown. Yeah? And that's for sentencing. You know what I mean? Because, you know, DM injuries, wow. They happened in Brentford September last year with footballer's partner accused of striking a pedestrian with her vehicle. Yeah? And like I said, the injuries are life-changing. Now, the Beast now in Essex, they've confirmed that the 27-year-old who resides in East London was charged, yeah, earlier this month following a review of the evidence by the Road Policing Unit. You know what I mean? So they're saying, you know what I mean? Gonna have to fling a charge on this, yeah? Now, a partner, what was the rated, what, 55 mil? Full back? He's believed that he wasn't present at the time of the collision. Yeah? Thank the Lord for that. You know what I mean? The pedestrian, who was a woman in her 30s, sustained life-changing injuries when she was struck on Hatsworth Road, approximately 8:50, yeah? That morning, September the 23rd. Now, Francis faces one of the most serious motoring charges available under UK law, carrying a maximum prison sentence, like I said earlier on, about 5 years, yeah, upon conviction. So if found guilty, yeah, she'll have to go back to court for sentencing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's up to the CPS, you know what I mean? Where they take it, I mean, CPS, they look at the evidence and they say, yeah, this is going to court. You know what I mean? She's due to appeal for the first hearing in Colchester Magistrates 17th of this month. The police investigations have been ongoing since the incident, with the Rhodes Policing Unit leading the inquiry that ultimately resulted in the charge. The force said, in a statement, a woman is due to appear in court charged with causing serious injury by dangerous driving following a collision in Brentford. Yeah? Around 10 to 8, you know, September the 23rd. Officers recall that the collision involving a car and a pedestrian in Hatswell Road. Yeah? So that's a serious thing. You know what I mean? That's a proper serious thing. And, you know, I've not seen the kind of like what injuries have been sustained, but when they say life changing, a serious thing that. So looking at it from a layperson, it's looking like a sentence, unfortunately. You know what I mean? But somebody suffered, you know what I mean? And there'd be enough kind of compensation going on there. You know, Sweet Talking Sport, Friday the 6th, 18:38 and counting. Gonna move on now to a statement, because like it coming like black managers, professional black managers, current situation for me is critical. Yeah, now people might say, yeah, you're kind of aware of this, but for me it's like, what are the FA doing about it? Now you can have as many schemes as you want to justify the Rooney rule and all them kind of something there. You know what I mean? But, you know, out of 92 pro clubs, as far as I know to date, you have two. Yeah? And it's just, you know, thank God that they're in the top flight. You know, Esperino, Santo, yeah? Espirito Santo. Let's get it right. You know what I mean? Yeah? Obviously, West Ham's manager. And then you have Fuiliam Rasinha, yeah? Chelsea, yeah? And his cards are marked, I'm telling you, yeah? And this is being raised. It's not the first time things like this will be raised, yeah? But you have to take note of these kind of things. You know what I mean? Because they're kind of serious, man. They're serious things. I'm trying to get this something up right now. So yeah, this is something ain't gonna work. Oh, see it there?
Ex-player, manager, make it good. Good manager is in itself, and I'll explain why, a racist question, and I'll tell you why. Because it presupposes the question itself, can a black man make a good manager, presupposes that there's a slight possibility that you can't be a good manager because of the color of your skin. Mm. Is that a possibility? If it's not a possibility, it's a stupid question. But because people have that perception, it's the same when women come into football. Listen, if you go to a doctor and you're going to have a heart transplant, and one doctor is Jamie Carragher, and the doctor is Gareth Southgate, and you go to Jamie and he goes, all right, I'm fucking over there.
He's in a job.
But you still have this perception as to can you lead, can you think? And no matter how many black players now come to play, until we now change the perception of their worth when it comes to leadership or to managing, nothing will change.
You started off that by actually saying that basically there is no way a black manager can be successful effectively.
Until society changes the perception of their worth. Until we change that perception, so it's got nothing to do with being black, being female, being gay, whatever. It's the perception we have of people who we feel superior to. And this is, in society, it's got nothing to do with football. It's to do with life. That's the way life is.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, is it all right to have them kind of discussions? Yeah, of course it is. I think it's best to be open and honest, but, you know, the evidence is out there. You know, be out of doubt. So, I mean, I've just given you fact, you know. Nuno Espirito, you know, manager of West Ham. And then you've got Liam Rossini. You know, yeah, they're managing the top flight. But you've got 92 pro clubs. And we have two for sure. You know what I mean? You know, you have Uilipa, black footballer them. You know what I mean? And they would have played under several managers. You've got to know a thing or two about football. You know, especially the... You know, the players that I've played in, say, talk about Championship, Premiership, yeah? Not kind of excluding League One and Two, but I'm just kind of like using that as an example of top black players out there, what, are showboating their stuff. You know what I mean? Now, we know that in the past, that... representing kind of like the country of their choice. So let's take, for example, England, for example. You look at the caps, say, what right he's got. How much really should he have got? Sterling's in there too. We go back even further. You look at Les, you know? Les Ferdinand, yeah? How many caps did he get? You know what I mean? Yeah, you can go back even further. You have them men like Paul Parker and that. You know what I mean? Al Ince. You know what I mean? People, you know, might kind of try to style it up and say, well, they're late coming into the game or inconsistencies. No, it was nothing like that at all. Now, the late Graeme Taylor. he did set up, and I believe it was true too, yeah, that he did tell one man, say, the reason why you have few caps is because of the colour of your skin. And he said that the FA told him to ease off, to cool things down. Yeah? And get a nudge in his back. Don't pick so many. Yeah? Now, if you want to look into that, just Google Graeme Taylor, right? What the FA told him about picking black mans them out there. I'm telling you. And I'm going to tell you again. Just Google it. And the truth's out there. The truth's what you read. You know what I mean? Yeah, it is a serious thing. You know what I mean? I mean, if you look at Barnes, right? He first went into management back in 1999 at Chelsea. Dalglish brought him there. And I believe that Doug Dalglish hung him up to dry. Yeah? And he spoiled himself for me, Dalglish. You know what I mean? Because he never defended him. I've not heard anything out there what Dalglish defended Barnes. 1 year stint or a season. Celtic from 1999 to 2000. JA. 2008 to 2009, yeah. And Amir said that they won't let Barnes go. Them taking passport, innit? Yeah. Google it. Check that out. Yeah. Ain't ramping on it. And then I can even throw Tranmere Rovers in there as well. So from JA went into Tranmere. People might say, "Hang on a minute, JB. How come this guy can't manage or been given that chance?" You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you listen, you're just human beings. Sometimes you might get it wrong. Sometimes you might have a different formation. It's not working. You're going to have to switch it. Yeah. Have you got the tools to switch it? Have you got the time to switch it? Will people who own the clubs, the directors, give you the time what's required to successfully see out the project? Well, obviously not. That's why there's only two. You know what I mean? You know, and then you get a big percentage of black players. Surely, after when they've hung up the boots, they might go wanting to coaching, set up a coaching school, or go into management. But because the stats at that poor, would you want to put yourself through that? Would you want to put your family through that? Do you know what I mean? You know? I know you still love me. Guess not. People might say, well, you know, maybe they just don't want to do it. I want you back. I tell you what, there's been enough out there what I've wanted to do that. You know? I mean, listen to this. I mean, historical fact now, 33 years of Premier League football, guess how many managers? Guess how many? I reckon 12. That's what I've got, 12. So the challenge now, you know, 50% former black players are less likely to get into that. When I say get into that, I mean management. 50%. So there's probably, like, you know, what are active now playing and near the end of their career, they'll be having them discussions. You know what I mean? You know? What are you saying, bro? You're going to go into coaching or management? You're mad. They're the discussions what they're probably having. Yeah? Now, I know an ex-player, right? I'm not even going to reveal his name. Yeah? I've done, you know, I've had quite a few discussions with this guy in person. And on his phone, they've got their own group You know, like, say, you know, I'm talking about KC now, G, TV, the captain. We're in a demands group then, right? Well, there's ex-professional black players who are in this group. And if any jobs come up, they're on it. They support one another. They've had to come away from the system and create their own unique system to say, do you know what, brothers? This is how we're going to look after ourselves. Okay? And not all black players, ex-players, are on this app, because some of them who are broadcasting, for example, yeah, you know, let's say, you know, I'll give you the first name of one, Ashley, ex-defender, in the match of the day and that, right? They have to be in a certain union, right? Being a certain agent, yeah? Being the system to get them kind of slots, right? So if you're not willing to join up and sign up for them people, then you ain't going to get a show. You ain't going to get a look in. You know what I mean? That's why you'll see certain ex-black players on Match of the Day, you know what I mean? Chatting about, you know, the game, analysing the game. And you might think, you know, you might see others on different channel who have got just as more experience, and they just drop it a different way, drop it on a different channel. You know what I mean? Because I'm the one sign up for them people then. You know what I mean? You know what I said? This is Sweet Talking Sport 1852. Yeah, and time kind of like, time's running away. So I'm gonna have to cut that shot and jump in at a championship. Yeah. So Wednesday, they're playing on Sunday. Yeah. They travel to Swansea. Swansea 16th in the division. Sheffield Wednesday are the root of it. Yeah? I'm gonna say the root of all evil, isn't it? Easy enough. So where are we now? Sheffield Wednesday, since they've gone into administration, no announcement of no owner. Yeah. Ain't gonna lie to you, people out there, they've had a very difficult kind of like period. But I believe that there'll be a consortium, and I've said this for a while, and they probably was kind of like split, probably fighting against each other, not physically, but for control. Somebody switched on the light and said, do you know what, let's link up. So there'll be a consortium to take over Wednesday. I mean, the only thing for Wednesday now is about fulfilling their fixtures, yeah, and bringing in some boys, yeah, which they did, you know, in the transfer window. I mean, CV and myself, Angie, reminded, yeah, you know, Mo will give us a few updates and stuff like that, who them bring in, yeah, but they brought in the boys. And like I said, Captain, you ain't going to win anything with the boys. You know what I mean? So, just fulfil your fixture, then. I mean, the other thing as well, I mean, what does Pedersen say? Do you know, like, when you're preparing for a game, like, that they'll come in, you know, during the week, you know, they'll prepare for the game, and they'll, you know, do the stuff on the training ground, set pieces or whatever, phases of play, and then they'll go inside and do the technical stuff. You know what I mean? This is how Swansea set up. You know, this is where the threats are. Yeah, but we can exploit them if we do this and we do that. Do you know what I mean? Now, how many of them young boys? Remember, them young boys haven't played in that kind of environment. Yeah, they haven't played men's football, so they're getting exposed. Now, the fact is that they haven't conceded many goals recently is probably maybe the units kind of set up to defend, because if they go full out, they'll get blown away. And I tell you what, there might be a few goals in Wales, in Swansea, at the weekend. You know what I mean? Again, I think they're going to be drawing blanks. You know what I mean? Yeah? 18:55 and counting. Might as well switch the car. You know, like, I tried to share it out. I tried to kind of, you know, what can I get them Wednesday man out there? A little excitement, a little encouragement, you know what I mean? But some of you might think, do you know what? You're so biased, it's untrue. But do you know what? If you think that you can big them up, if you want that opportunity, just give the bell 0114-2814092. Guess what? I can't hear the phone ring. You know what I mean? Can't hear the phone ring. Hey! Blazer entertain Middlesbrough on Monday under the lights at Bramall Lane. So, yeah, we was kind of like, well, in fact, transfer deadline day, I knew from the afternoon that, you know, Mr. Phillips was going to be coming through the door. Joe Rothwell also. And we have Leon DeLion, a defender who come through too. You know what I mean? So that's not forgetting the guy from Wolves who we brought in earlier on. And obviously Bamford and that. So we've had a quite... busy period, you could say. Bamford will be out for this one, I would have thought. Done really well. 6 goals in 13 outings. Yeah, the guy's shown up all right. So we've got our new arrivals through the building now. Do you know what I mean? And it's going to be a classic, this one. Borough are flying as well. I think they've won their last, five games on a trot. They're in kind of like hot form. Blades are quite strong at home. Be a few goals. I won't be surprised if it's a 2-2 draw. It's a difficult one to call because they have got big threats. And one of them threats is a guy called Hackney, who's been, you know, kind of like there was bids went in for him. Premiership clubs. Now it's debatable whether there was right for him or not right, or right for the club, not right for him. Do you know what I mean? But he's still there. Maybe he can see things happening at Borough. They're definitely in the mix, definitely in it. Can Blades get 3 points? It's possible. In fact, it's been quite a few games, home games at the Lane, where they've bust 3. Maybe not 3. I can see them getting 2, but I can also see Borough getting a couple as well. I'm not gonna stay on the fence for this one. I'm gonna go for a 2-2 draw. Do I want United to win? Of course I do. You know what I mean? For me, if I'm honest, this can go either way. There could even be a 3-2 in there. Do you know what I mean? But mark my words, it smells goals on this one. Do you know what I mean? You know? Well, this is Sweet Talking Sport, 18:58. Do you know what? I'm going to play you out with this one, this tune. Hope you've loved the show. And I'll be back.